here in Chicago with Daniel Jeremiah of the NFL Network, longtime friend of HoustonTexans.com. I remember sitting under an escalator at the Combine back in 2010 talking with you. Pretty fun to be here at the draft right now, right?
Well, it's great. Chicago, I mean, it's something different. New York was great. But New York, man, it was. There's so much always going on in New York that the draft could kind of sneak into town and sneak out of town. This feels big. It feels big here in Chicago.
No doubt. I mean, you jam it into Radio City Music Hall. Now you got this big complex over there where it goes down. But let's talk Texans. Sitting at number 16, no matter what, there will be a quality player that is at least going to be available and sliding there, right? Just depends on whether or not the Texans take them.
Yeah, look, they're going to have options. They're going to have a bunch of good options there. I think right where they're picking is kind of where the fall-off starts to take place. You kind of miss out on some of those elite guys if you go back much further. So, you know, where some teams, I think you'd be looking to trade back and collect some more picks. I think where they are, I think they're going to get a chance to get a player fall right in their lap, and I'd expect them to sit right there and take them.
All right, since we're at a pizza joint, Geno's East, and J.J. Watt was famously called Pizza Boy by folks, who on defense in that range around 16 would be the best help for the Pizza Boy and the rest of his defense?
Wow. I mean, if you wanted to go, I mean, you got options at different levels of your defense. I think the cornerback position, if you want to look there, you look at a player like Kevin Johnson from Wake Forest. He's got a lot of buzz, a lot of juice. You know, Jalen Collins has had his issues, you know, off the field from LSU, so I don't think that he would really be an option at that point in time. And then, you know, other defensive options, man, to me would be an intriguing pick, which you haven't heard much with Houston. What if they went Eric Armstead and just put him 6'7", 290-something pounds? You could play him. I mean, he could be a dominating player. And then if you wanted a true nose, you got Danny Shelton from Washington, who's ready-made to play in Romeo's defense. Now, I haven't spent some time around Romeo in Cleveland. He's almost exactly what he's looking for at that spot.
Yeah, and it's really fascinating because Shelton has said, hey, I'm pretty versatile. I can move around a little bit. We know Vince Wilfork can do the same. You know, what sort of defense would you be able to throw out there, and what sort of stuff creatively could Romeo do?
Well, look, you look at, you know, Haloti Ngata with Baltimore. They've played everybody. You know, look, he's ideally suited to play the nose tackle. They kicked him out to end, and they've been playing, you know, play Timmy Jernigan in there and different guys. Wilfork has played off the nose. So I think both those guys, I think Shelton and Vince, even though Vince is a little long in the tooth, you could put them in there together. And we've seen some great defenses over the years that have had those two monsters. Go back to the Ravens in 2000 when you've got Adams and Siragusa playing together. So I think you find a way to make that work.
You know, and flipping things around on the other side of the ball, I really liked those three undervalued guys that you talked about today, Lockett being one of them. You know, what were your thoughts there?
I'm a big Lockett fan. I mean, people always ask me, when they ask me about Tyler Lockett, that's the way I say it is, if you haven't watched Tyler Lockett play, he's easy to spot. Don't look up his number. Just look for the wide receiver that's open on every single play because he is a pristine route runner. He can help you in the return game as well. He's tough. Just doesn't have ideal size. But you don't have ideal size. You got to make up for it with speed and explosiveness. He ran in the 4.3s. Check that box.
You said maybe third, but couldn't he go in the second, you think?
Yeah. That's one of those deals where I think if you get him in the third round, you're just high-fiving and jumping around the draft room. But I think you probably have to take him in middle to late two to get him.
He's a guy that's, you see, very undervalued. Who's your favorite receiver?
My favorite receiver is Kevin White from West Virginia. I love Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper's my third player in the entire draft, so that tells you what I think of him. Kevin White I have as a second player. And the difference between those guys to me, you get somebody that's a little bigger, a little more physical, a little bit more consistent catching the football. Now Amari's a little more advanced as a route runner because of what he was asked to do. But I think Kevin White is going to be able to translate very well to the next level. I think he's going to be a double-digit touchdown guy very early.
Did you see the Texans moving back?
You know, again, I think they kind of, if you want a corner, you trade back, you're probably going to miss out a little bit. I think you could see a little bit of a run take place right after that. Defensive line-wise, if you want to go there, I mean, you might have an option, Eddie Goldman, somebody like that, Malcolm Brown. That could be a scenario where you do that. I mean, it just depends on where you're going. If you want corner, I think you stay. If you want D-line, I think you have an opportunity to trade back.
All right, this is your profession. You prepare for this all year long. How excited are you for it?
It's fun. It's like Christmas. You know, every now and then you kind of go, they really pay me? They're paying me for this? So, no, it doesn't get any better in draft week.
Daniel Jeremiah, thanks so much.